we can, those of us who can't be with us. Okay, thank you, Sue. Over to you.
Yes, so I seem to be doing another kind of theme of boats and storms and things like that. I do love the sea very much. So this morning I want to talk very quickly about St. Paul's journey to Rome and how he went through the shipwreck, which is an amazing story with very detailed description of what happened to the boat. But first of all, I've asked Nia if she would read just a little bit of a psalm, Psalm 107, which is the psalm that talks about people who got into trouble and called out to the Lord for help. And Nia's particular one is about the people who went up and down on the ships on the high seas and got into trouble and called out to God. So Nia, would you like to read your verses out? Thank you very much.
He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love.
Wonderful, thank you. That phrase, he guided them to their desired haven, just a wonderful picture of the Lord taking us through troubled times. So here we are in Acts chapter 27. So I'm going to do a lightning description because it's quite a long chapter. And then I've asked Panache and Cecilia to read another verse, or a few verses from Acts 27. So you might remember that St. Paul was arrested and under house arrest, and he appeared before King Agrippa. And remember, he appealed to Caesar, and so therefore the authorities decided to send him to Rome to stand trial in Rome. And so when they were getting ready to sail for Italy, they transferred Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. Now, Julius was quite a kind man, and so he was going to look after Paul on the ship. And if you've seen a map of the Mediterranean, you might remember that they sailed from Caesarea. They went up the northern edge of Cyprus under what would be modern day Turkey, and down under the island of Crete. And at one point, they were actually being advised that they shouldn't go any further because of the winds and the storm that was about to happen. So I want to take it up and read a little bit. So this was from Sidon. Putting out to sea from Sidon, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. After we'd sailed across the sea, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship bound for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus as the wind was against us. We sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmone. Sailing past it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia, which is in southern Crete. Paul advised everybody in the boat and the captain, saying, "Sirs, I can see that the voyage will be with danger and much heavy loss, not only of the cargo in the ship, but of us too." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. Since the harbour was not suitable for spending the winter, most of them wanted to put out to sea on the chance that they might reach another city called Phoenix. And so they set out. But when a moderate wind began to blow, they thought they could achieve their purpose. So they weighed anchor and began to sail past Crete close to the shore. But soon a violent wind called the Northeaster rushed down from Crete. So you can imagine the boats in the middle of the Mediterranean. They've sailed out from Crete, and there they are, stuck in the middle of the sea. And this northeast wind comes down from Crete going whoosh at the boat. And they were in danger, and they were lowering the anchor, but they were still being driven. And they were also afraid that the wind was going to drive them all the way to North Africa, to the sandbanks called the Syrtis. It's like sandbanks on the North African coast. And so there they were in the middle. They were being so pounded by the storm so violently that on the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, with their own hands, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. When neither, can you imagine this now? You're in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, they couldn't see the sun and they couldn't see the stars at night. And no small tempest raged. In other words, a very big tempest raged. All hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. And they hadn't been eating either because they'd been fasting. And then Paul said, Panache and Cecilia, if you would like to read your scripture.
The men had gone without food for a long time. Then one day, Paul stood before them and said, Men, I told you not to leave Crete. You should have listened to me. Then you would not have all this trouble and loss. But now I tell you to cheer up. None of you will die, but the ship will be lost. Last night, an angel came from God. This is the God I worship. I am his.
God's angel said, Paul, don't be afraid. You must stand before Caesar. And God has given you this promise. He will save lives, the lives of all those men sailing with you. So men, be cheerful. I trust in God. Everything will happen as the angel told me. But we will go aground on an island.
Thank you very much indeed. That's lovely. And that's what happened. So they ran aground, and you remember in the story, if you read it for yourself, that they ended up on the island of Malta, where the people actually were very hospitable and looked after them and fed them. And they actually stayed there for 3 months through the winter before eventually sailing to Rome. And the few thoughts that I have from this story is that when they were in the middle of the trouble, they had to lighten the ship in order to save lives because the storm was so great. So they threw all the tackle off and they threw the cargo off and they even threw some of the wheat and the food out as well. And to me, that speaks of sometimes when we're in difficulties and we're going through challenges, we have to simplify things. Sometimes we might have to lighten the load, maybe the daily load. Or just the things that we're doing. We've just had to focus on what's important and not focus on the things that are not important. And right then, what was important for them was to save their lives and to get through the storm. And so the focus made them lighten the load. And I just wonder what you've had to lighten or to let go of or to throw out or to not do anymore. In this time. And the other thing I noticed with the whole storm was just the way that the people in Malta were so welcoming and hospitable. And it may be that in this time, as we come out of lockdown, we might have built new relationships and new friendships with neighbours or eventually we'll be able to go into people's homes again. And what is God doing to actually lead us into these new friendships and new relationships, new situations? So there they were. They'd never been to Malta before. It became a mission field and it was a blessing to them. and that actually in these challenging times, God might be bringing into our lives new people, new situations, new opportunities that are actually going to be great blessings. And then the third thing was actually Paul kept on in his ultimate purpose, which was not so, you know, which was challenging because he was going to go and be, you know, tried at Rome, in Rome. So he actually, the purposes of God in his life were still being fulfilled. The big purpose, the big sense of direction was still there, and he still ended up going to Rome. But finally, perhaps the most important thing about this whole story is what Panache and Cecilia read out and what Nia read out really was actually the confidence in God that Paul had, that he could stand up in the middle of the storm where he couldn't see the sun and he couldn't see the stars, he couldn't see the way ahead, it looked terrible, and he stood up on the ship and he said, you know what, guys, I believe God. An angel has appeared to me. I'm trusting in God. I've got confidence that God's going to see me through and see us through. And no lives are going to be lost here, he declared. But we're going to lose the ship and we'll have to go on aground on some island. But don't worry, he said. He inspired confidence. He inspired trust. He gave leadership to the situation because he stood right there in the gap and declared the presence of God and his confidence in God that would bless other people. And I think that's an amazing testimony, you know, to Paul's relationship with the Lord, that in the middle of trial, he could stand up and say those things. And they made it to shore and he made it to Rome. And so there you go. So I just want to encourage us to have confidence in God as we begin to kind of take these steps out of lockdown, that we can be confident in who God is to bring us through and to bring us into new situations, new blessing and new opportunities. And thank you everybody for reading. It was wonderful.
That's great. Thank you, Sue. We look forward to following those thoughts up in our groups this coming week and in our personal sort of space together. So thank you for sharing with us. And yes, I echo that. Thank you for those who read to us, really.